Welcome to the Ghost Gig. Are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We're not too sticky.
I'm not because I've had a shower. That one. You are.
I've just got back from work. I had to climb a big hill.
Oh, diddums.
I am sweat.
He's lovely. He smells amazing.
I do.
Yeah.
Stroke me.
No. I hope everyone's good. It's been a busy month. Lots has happened.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. We got engaged.
We did get engaged. I think people would probably have known that by now.
But we
I mean,
did.
You know and I know, which is the important
bit. I'm aware,
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you remembered.
So, yeah.
Bit of a thing.
He's done the commitment thing. Oh, my God.
Ooh, ADs, man.
And I thought having a podcast was pretty,
we weren't in
you
Bristol,
know,
we were in Torquay.
We've got a podcast, though, which is pretty much a child, which we have abandoned for
it
the
is
last
quite
month.
It's quite noisy.
Yeah, yeah.
And time-consuming. So, yeah, it's a child, basically, isn't it?
But anyway, we'll stop rambling.
It's a child that lives on Spotify. It doesn't use up any like rooms in our house.
We'll stop rambling.
No, we won't.
We will get on.
I can promise you we will never, ever stop rambling.
Well, you won't.
No, and you will like it too.
What film are we discussing this episode?
We are discussing The Lure, which is from 2015.
Yeah.
And brace yourselves for this, guys. It's a musical about monstrous mermaids.
Cannibalistic.
Oh, and they're Polish. Happens to be Polish.
Yes. So these two mermaids are found sort of just chilling around in the sea.
In a river. Yeah, or the
as
sea
you
or
do.
Wherever. Yeah, yeah. By some musicians.
And they are brought to a strip club to basically be the star attraction at this strip club, aren't they?
Pretty much. Yeah, this is set. It looks like it might be the 80s in a kind of nondescript kind of way.
It's quite 80s.
It's a sort of late Soviet era.
Yeah.
80s. Dingy club.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing if you know anything more about Polish history, it makes much more sense in context. But outside of any of that, is just a very surreal visual. Frankly,
yes,
it feels detached from reality because it's very outside of
very
our experience.
Very much so.
But it's such a strange location to have any kind of film in. Yes, alone one about a horror film about mermaids with lots of singing in it.
Yeah,
like, it really is a musical.
It's like a rock musical. When I was reading about it, that's what kind of they were. Because obviously
everything's
in Polish.
I see that. Yeah.
So you're half the time reading subtitles and trying to keep up with what's going on. Because it's a random film as it is, let alone it being in a completely different language.
Absolutely, yeah. It feels like a pet project of the director, whose name, I've forgotten her name now. But this feels like it was like, you know, a load of crazy ideas she put together. It's like, I'm going to do it. And then she managed to get financing for it. And like, I'm really glad she did, actually.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, so
I'd seen it before. And I was kind of pushing you and saying, I think you want to watch this. I think this is weird. At the time, I wasn't quite sure if we could do it for podcast.
Weird is putting it lightly.
I couldn't quite remember if it was horror enough for this podcast, but it's definitely weird.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely horror.
There's a lot of gore in it. I've forgotten a lot of it. So
what struck me first was how young the two mermaids looked. There was a lot of nudity. And they're mermaids as in they become human when they come on land. And if they touch water, they revert back to being mermaids.
They do, yeah.
So when they are first become or, you know, are shown as humans, they look prepubescent. I can't say the word.
They look like teenage girls.
Yeah, and it's really young. I actually Googled their ages, didn't I? And
you,
I was like,
you
okay.
Googled, oh my God, they're my age.
Well, yeah, but they are my age now, but, you know, back in 2000, they would have been in their...
but they were still in their, like...
mid-20s, so yeah. It troubled me enough to have to Google their age. How old are they? Because there is a lot of sex scenes and a lot of nudity and adult stuff which they are involved in, and it just, that made me feel so uncomfortable. I guess it's on purpose.
I think it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I think the most uncomfortable parts are not when... It's how people act towards them rather than how they are fundamentally acting.
Yeah.
Because they're basically predators, aren't they?
They are. There's the thing. They look like these innocent kind of abused girls, but actually they are forlorn and wide-eyed, but actually they're really nasty pieces of work, both of them, aren't they?
They are. They are monsters, truly.
They are monsters.
I mean, teenage girls are monsters anyway.
True,
but
true.
This is taking that to an extreme.
I was one once. I can remember being a monster.
I bet you were a monster.
Eating my lovers and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, swimming away after I'd done that. Don't do that on them.
You click my fingers.
I would say, and after sort of looking into this film after we've watched it, it is very, very close to the original fairy tale of The Little Mermaid.
Yes, it actually
once
is.
Once you in that,
it's got a veil over it of you know, 80s synth pop.
Yeah, but once you one of the mermaids falls in love with a human, as in the Little Mermaid, and it all goes horribly wrong. And I won't give too much away, but basically, it does mirror the old fairy tale, which a lot of people don't know because they only know the Disney version,
which is not very similar at all.
Of course, because that's for young children. You don't want to give them, you don't want to traumatize them before they reach the age of 10. I enjoyed the film. As I said to you, it was very confusing. A lot of it was lost in translation. A lot of the subtitles came through.
There was definitely
through.
Times when, especially during the songs, I did feel like we were kind of wondering, is that just a mistranslation of the words? Or I did wonder afterwards, is it really when you translate a turn of phrase and the words individually are accurate, but actually the turn of phrase doesn't translate. And it's probably a lot of that as well. But also it's song lyrics. They matter a lot less.
Yeah.
And they're presented in this, some of the songs, especially like ultra Eurovision kind of style. Like they're really produced.
It was very Eurovision, wasn't it?
I wrote down, it reminded me of Mamma Mia via Nine Inch Nails. or like an 80s music video directed by David Lynch or something.
Yeah.
It's very wide extremes. And it revels in both of them.
Also, like, I don't know, I was reminded slightly of the film Tommy. You know, have you seen that?
Yeah.
There were moments like that.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so it was confusing as it was. There was this wonderful moment with the translation where a woman says to one of the mermaids, "Smoke, child."
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, is that what they meant? Or is that just how it's been translated? You know? And there was lots of little clips of dialogue like that, which didn't quite come across how I think it's supposed to, you know.
I don't think it felt entirely else because the whole thing felt very off-kilter, I would say.
Off-kilter is such a good way to describe it. And the beginning and the ending I really enjoyed, and I said this to you many times,
you
there was a whole section in the middle where I had no bloody idea what was going on.
I will say, the middle part, the plot.
No clue.
The plot is... it's quite difficult to follow, or at least to work out the motivations in the characters as to why the heck they're doing it. But I actually do feel like the ending, actually the last act, when it goes back more towards like the him going off with the other lady, and actually it kind of fell a bit flat then, because all of a sudden, as soon as that catharsis was gone, it was a bit lacking. I thought, I enjoyed in hindsight not knowing what the heck was going on, because at least it made this just a strange barrage of imagery and plot points and song numbers. It was really fun, even if I couldn't entirely work out why they were doing what they were doing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
You could not look at your phone during this film.
No.
Definitely. I think even if it had been in English.
I don't think you should look at your phone during a film
anyway. No, I know. I'm sorry.
To be honest.
I'm sorry. But, you know, I don't think I've got as good an attention span as you anyway. But I did genuinely watch and try and, but there was, I don't know.
You did.
Maybe I'm just a bit slow, but there was a good section in the middle when I was like, I do not know what's happening. And then suddenly... because like in The Little Mermaid, she wants legs permanently, because that's not giving it. If you know The Little Mermaid, and she kind of goes and has that procedure. From that point on, I kind of then got it back and was like, okay, I know where we are now. I know what's happening. But yeah, between the beginning and that bit, I was just like, they're just floating around naked and dancing and naked in the clubs. And there's lots of seedy men. And I don't know what...
really
that,
seedy men.
Really seedy men.
The first scene you mentioned earlier where they're introduced to us as to what they actually are, because before that, they're not actually that clear.
Yeah.
There's a really toe-curling bit of dialogue where the owner of the club, I don't know what it was, he says, it smells like fish.
Yeah.
That comment is like, oh.
Yeah, and he's just showing them off like they're pieces of meat, basically.
Yeah.
Turning them round, bending them over.
Yeah.
And that's when I Googled their ages, because I was like, oh my God, this is... really uncomfortable.
I mean, it revels in it. Like, it's making you, it wants you to be uncomfortable. The whole film, like, stares at itself in the mirror with its own weirdness.
Yeah.
And it giggles at itself, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way I can describe it at this point.
I did enjoy it, though. I mean, I'd probably watch it again to try and make more sense of it.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll give it a little while, though.
Yeah, no, I don't want to.
There's lots of sort of deeper themes and stuff in it if you wanted to delve into it, I realised. Because, like, okay, so once they get hired by the club to front this new band, like they get put in that giant champagne glass with water in it, and of course then their tails come out, and all these men are leering at them waiting for this to happen. Like, no one's that weirded out by mermaids in this whole thing.
There's no oh my God, it's a mermaid. Everyone's like, oh, they're quite sexy.
It's like, oh, they look nice, I want to fuck that.
Yeah,
essentially. I don't get why.
Vincent.
I'm sorry. Like, especially because they explicitly explain, like, when they're girls, that ain't happening, because it's demonstrated they're like Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
There's no ability there.
Yep.
You can't.
It's smooth.
It's really, really bizarre. And yet these guys get really into it when essentially they get dipped in water. They get wet and they go, basically grow a giant phallus off the end of their bodies, don't they? And all these men really want to watch them.
Yeah. But there is no... Can you imagine if that happened? You're in a bar or a club and these dancing girls, not that I've ever been in a strip club, but I've seen it enough on telly, and suddenly they actually turn into mermaids. People would be screaming. People would be running around like mad.
I think I'd be surprised that was the sideshow attraction in a strip club.
Yeah.
There's probably better places for that to be.
But people were kind of acting a bit like it was a bit unusual, but okay, you know, that's cool. Yeah. They've got mermaids. It's a bit like... I don't know, when you go to a zoo, like, oh my God, they've got a really rare animal. They're acting a bit like that.
Yeah, it was.
Like, oh,
like
we
that.
Know they exist, but it's quite rare. Not like, oh my God, it's a mythical creature.
Yeah.
I suppose it's showing that, you know, they were more interested sexually than, you know, anything else.
Yeah, true. And ultimately, they're as much monsters, all the humans in it basically are monsters. Yeah. There's no real heroes in this at all.
No, there's no nice, characters.
The other humans are monstrous to the girls.
Yeah.
The girls end up being seduced by human life, realistically. Yeah.
And they're monsters back.
And yeah, they are. It doesn't go well.
I mean, that's the thing, because they are predators. They are, in a sense, kind of wild. And they kind of come to shore to kill anyway.
Yeah, they do.
They do. So they're never kind of innocent to start
with. They exist to feed. And they've clearly been doing so as a pair for a long time.
They do not care about being naked and being taken for granted sexually. So I suppose it's okay in that sense that they're treated how they... Not okay, but I suppose that's how they justify being treated like that. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. All right. I didn't quite see that at the time, but okay, I see what you mean.
They're not good. They're not innocent good characters.
No, they're not.
They are monsters.
Oh, yeah. They're monsters. They're predators.
Yeah. I hope we're making sense.
They have piranha teeth.
Yeah.
They have a giant eel tail. Like, it's not an elegant mermaid.
No, it's not nice. It's
not like the one in Cabin in the Woods, but it's not, you know, beautiful mermaids with, you know, no. These are monsters.
They're beautiful girls, but their tails are not...
It's a giant eel.
It's a giant eel, basically.
It's a giant willy.
Yeah. You're a giant willy. I'd definitely recommend a watch. It's on Netflix.
I would. There's just loads going on in it.
Like, watch it. Don't watch it offhand or when you're a bit drunk. You need to be able to concentrate, I'd say.
Yeah, I do think you're right. There's loads to get into there. Like, the whole bit, like, it's Silver who falls in love, isn't it? Of the two girls are called Golden and Silver.
Yeah.
And Silver falls in love with the bass player in the band, the not Prince.
Yeah.
And yeah, ends up making the choice between being a sexless but beautifully voiced fish lady.
Mm.
Or being a human and having no voice. That's maintained from the original thing.
And again, taken from the original fairy tale.
Absolutely, yeah. Although, obviously, they replace the sea witch with a doctor, which is fair enough.
Yeah. It's a really cool take on the original, the original Brothers Grimm fairy tale.
It is.
I definitely recommend a watch. Just really go in with your head screwed on.
Go in with your head screwed on and just expect some odd breakouts into song and dance.
Yeah.
When, you know... You probably wouldn't normally. I would say the songs in it are really good. Like, they're catchy as hell.
Yeah, I can't remember any of them.
I can.
Okay, fair enough.
They're not quite, you know, they're not like, let's draw the comparison directly, Disney standard. But they are really catchy pop songs.
Yeah.
Like the Eurovision sort of style of things.
It
like,
is
there's
very,
lots of
I guess
that.
Because in the way my mind, I'm very, very bad with languages. I mean, languages like French, let alone a language like Polish, which doesn't have any really... You know, similarities.
You. Yeah,
no similarities at all. So nothing went in, unfortunately.
I just had to listen to how it sounds, which is fine. I guess that's how everyone else listens to English songs. That's fine.
Yeah. No, it's good. I definitely would recommend a watch.
Yeah, the film is a chimera, like the girls. I would say, actually, they did really well. The actresses in it did really well because they did all of the stuff they're doing while singing and dancing with a giant, like, 8-foot fish tail on
them. Kudos to them.
And they were terrifying.
They were. They were so good. The acting was impeccable. It's great.
Yeah, it is good. And like the way it looks.
Yeah.
Like, it does look like a Nine Inch Nails music video most of the time.
Yeah.
But it does. It's shot beautifully and has beautiful camera movements and these surreal moments in it.
And it's all just a bit desolate and helpless, isn't it? Like the whole sense of it is like, oh. And you think, why would they want to be there when they could be in the ocean? Why would they want to be in
this
horrible...
Well, they want to go to America. They want to swim across the Atlantic at some point. That's their dream, which they never get to, as far as we know.
Anyway, unless you have anything else to say, maybe we should play our songs.
Yeah, I guess we should play songs. That feels like that's what we do, isn't it, dear?
This is what we do.
It is what we do.
That's our USP.
I did realize that, like, this is the first time we've done a musical. So I don't know about you. I found that somewhat daunting because I never actually thought that when we were doing horror films, there's much chance of us encountering musicals.
I didn't think we'd come across, not let alone like a mermaid film, let alone a horror musical mermaid film.
Mermaids are an untapped monster, aren't they? Mythical monster that you don't see much about mermaids, especially in the real horror stuff.
Would Rocky Horror Picture Show count? Could we do that?
It absolutely counts, and we could do it. But I don't know if that should be our next one because we've just done a
musical. No. It just suddenly struck me.
I honestly think that should count.
Yeah.
But cool. You know, musicals in horror are not common.
Generally, no.
Musical monster horror films, even weirder. There can't be that many of these. So actually, I did find it quite intimidating approaching an actual musical.
I found it difficult with the... I mean, story-wise, there was a whole plethora of mermaid stuff.
Yes.
But the song was like, what the hell do I do here?
I had a similar thing.
Well, shall we show what we've done?
I would like to know
Let's
what
show
we've
our
done.
Work.
Let's show our work.
Go for it. You do yours first.
Okay.
It seems to me that quite quickly this is going to need some explaining. The monster of soggy girls who slaughter and sing, who are also fans of giving a violent necking. So why does anyone want to shag them? How does anyone feel about orgasmic dolphin sounds? Fish out of water, who would want a fish out of water? Who would want a fish out of water? Who would want a fish out of water? Who would want to? There will be blood, music and tragedy, but definitely no singing crustaceans here. Sometimes horror is just weird, sometimes it's like Eurovision. Pam decadence, that's words from parody. On to grindhouse gore, so gleefully. How does anyone feel about orgasmic dolphin sounds? Fish out of water, who would want a fish out of water? Who would want a fish out of water? Who would want a fish out of water? Who would want to? Filling on the dresser, golden, softly backlit. It's superhuman confusion, smoking a cigarette. And in this moment, she is suddenly the alien in under the skin, the awkward girl in Carrie. Fish out of water, who would want a fish out of water? Who would want a fish out of water? Who would want a fish out of water? Who would want to? Not in the present, but not exactly in the past. A space where genre distinctions get blurred. It's all about the things that girl has to give up if she wants to be part of your
So,
Eurovision,
a thing.
Yes. Eurovision 2023 next year.
That's my entry.
That's your entry. I think that there's a title somewhere.
To be honest,
somewhere.
I don't really want to go up in it until next year because it's going to be held in London, isn't it? Because Ukraine won. So
yeah, probably. Mm. But Vince, you'll be like, you know, the star with your dolphin orgasms and that.
I don't think that's a phrase I ever imagined I would hear.
Well, you came up with it. Let's play my song.
Never trust dolphins. They're smiling all the time. You can't trust them.
Very, very sorry about that, everyone. Let's play my song, quick.
Yep.
Ah, 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 ah.
The dozen of views and disparities rewritten. The high and the layers, drugs and booze, our fairy tale is hidden. They're not innocent, somehow it's still taken. This hangs heavy in the film, so much is lost in translation.
We will teach you, dear.
Fight to take control.
It's lost in such
a tragic way for those poor, unfortunate souls.
Please don't sue me, Disney. I just had this whole like image of like people in this sweaty club.
I do feel extra sweaty after hearing that.
Yeah, obviously.
That's oomphy.
You can imagine, can't you? The lights going, people like... Yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think that's very cool.
I think that was
I also like that you went in a different direction to what other things you've done.
Yeah, I would never have thought I'd... done a kind of, I mean, you say dubstep. I chose
it was the wrong tempo, but it was going there.
I chose a beat that sounded, you know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Definitely know what you're doing. You just have to do things that you think sound cool.
Yeah.
And then you did things that sound cool. So you win.
That's exactly what I did. But yeah, I just had this idea of using the theme from The Little Mermaid and building a whole song around that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
There are songs we've made on much less than that.
Yeah. But it was a difficult one, this one. It was, wasn't it?
It was.
And I will do more in What Were You Thinking?
I'm looking forward to your What Were You Thinking?
Me too.
I would like to know.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but yeah.
But you're right. There was much more, it felt like there was more minds there than they usually are. Because, you know, we've watched some really cool films, but they don't generally involve music, at least not prominently. Like, all of a sudden, music's quite a big thing in this one. And I thought, oh no.
It's already music
here. This could go really bad for us.
Yeah. Anyway,
I was really hoping we were going to get to review this film because I really think it's one of the
more enjoyable ones.
You
had literally not said anything about it before, so.
No, but when I saw it again on the Netflix, I thought, oh!
Yeah.
And I'm really glad we got to do it for the podcast.
Cool.
So
give it a watch, guys. And are you happy to move on to our stories?
I would like to hear the stories. Okay. I imagine that they're aquatic themed.
They might be. How did you guess?
It was a random splash in the dark.
Ha ha. Are you ready?
Yes.
So this is called Mermaid Tales. See what I did?
You know what? You've got it out of the way. And now she's done it. She never has to do it again.
Just you see. You proposed to me now. It's too late.
Yeah. Can't escape.
Are you ready?
Yes.
For hundreds of years, we have been fascinated by myths and legends of oceans. Sailors and fishermen would often tell tales of seeing great sea monsters.
They might tell tailors,
but they also told tales of seeing great sea monsters and mysterious creatures.
Yeah.
And after all, we have barely scratched the surface of exploring the oceans.
Very true.
Merfolk have captured the human imagination for centuries. And of course, for most of us, the most familiar mermaid is Ariel from Disney's The Little Mermaid. But this was based on a fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen. Ah, I was wrong before. It's Hans Christian Andersen.
Who did you say it was before?
The Brothers Grimm.
Ah,
who, to be fair, were responsible for most fairy tales. So apologies, guys. It was Hans Christian Andersen. And this was published in 1837. Believe me, in this version, there were no cutesy fish friends, no singing crab, and no happy ending. In fact, the Little Mermaid ends up meeting a rather tragic fate, similar to The Lore, which is the film we just spoke about.
Yes.
Plenty of mermaid legends mention merfolk befriending, falling in love, and even marrying humans. Many of these tales come from Celtic origin, although they are from all over the world.
Yeah.
Mary Lowe, in her book Seduction and Secret Power of Women, notes that in the Shetland Islands, mermaids are stunningly beautiful women who live under the sea. Their hybrid appearance is temporary, the effect being achieved by donning the skin of a fish. They must be careful. Ooh. I know.
It's much more gruesome, though, I imagine.
I know. Like, can you imagine?
I've not heard this aspect.
And also, how big are these fish?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, there are some pretty big fish.
What if you're a plus size? I mean,
really big fish.
Yeah. Sharks. Yeah. Whales.
Just basically just slip yourself inside a dead shark's mouth.
Yeah. No problem.
I mean, if you're brave enough to do that, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So these women, they must be careful not to lose the fish skin while they're wandering around on land.
Because they'll be naked.
They'll be naked, and without it, they'll be unable to return to their watery realm.
Ah, okay.
In folklore, merfolk are often given a bad rap, being associated with death and woe.
Mm.
Sailors were once warned of sirens, which pretty much are what the characters in the lore are, murderous sirens.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, which would, of course, sort of hypnotize sailors with their singing, only to ground their ships onto rocky shoals. So we're going to come back to the Celtic waters in just a minute. But first of all, we're going to head over to Japan.
Ooh, okay.
Now, when we think of mermaids, we obviously think of aerial, you know, we think of women.
Well, we do in the West.
We do, yes. So we think of beautiful women with fishtails. So we're going to focus on...
We think of seashells.
We do. We're going to think of something else now. We're going to veer away from that, two stories, okay?
Okay. No, I want to hear more of the breadth of this.
Yeah. So we're heading over to the waters of Japan, where lurks a terrifying creature known as the Kepa. This strange creature is said to have magical powers used for both good and evil, though generally it is the latter. To this day, sightings of the Kepa have still been reported. In fact, folk around the local area still hang warning signs near bodies of water. The Kepa is a mythological monster that's said to inhabit ponds and rivers in Japan. This strange creature is said to have the appearance of both a humanoid and reptile and are extremely cunning. They are child-sized water spirits that appear more animal than human, with simian faces and tortoise shells on their back.
Ooh, that sounds more like a Doctor Who monster.
It does, a little bit. I mean, it's got to get the inspiration from somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Kepa is fond of causing mischief and harm towards mankind. Their pranks can be harmless, like making similar noises to flatulence, or looking up a woman's kimono. Sounds like you.
Only both at the same time.
Whoops.
Blowing out the way. They're saying similar noises to flatulence. So you just let one go.
No.
Oh, really? I thought I heard you let one go.
I did not. Oh, I'm just thinking of you having a nice picnic by the river. this noise.
You just hear.
I think the heat's making us behave like we're six. Anyway, however, their appetite for babies makes them not so cute.
Quite true.
This is said to be their favourite snack.
Ah.
That or a fresh cucumber.
Because they're basically the same thing.
Yeah, obviously.
Both make cats jump.
Yes, that's true. Have you ever seen videos of cats with
cucumbers?
Absolutely. Hilarious. We tried to do that with my parents' cat, and he just looked at us like we were insane. Yeah, so
you are.
I know. Back to the Kepa. They also have a reputation of forcing themselves upon women, so they're not so nice.
No.
The powers of the Kepa are thought to be magical and are greatly respected by those who believe in the deity. All Kepas are known to possess incredible strength and impressive swimming capabilities. They are also known for their love of fighting. Especially sumo wrestling. I just love this. It's said that a Kepa's greatest joy in life is to engage in combat with its victims. However, many are able to escape its invitation to a fight by making a deep bow to the Kepa. According to the legend, Kepas are obsessed with politeness and will return the bow, spilling water in the process. And meaning that you're off the hook, basically.
I would guess so.
So, you know, remember that. Kepas are also extremely intelligent, and they're thought to have brought many medical practices to ancient Japan, including the art of bone setting and creating medical salves and ointments and creams.
Ooh.
It's said if you befriend a Kepa, it will grant you the knowledge of many medical practices.
That is useful.
That's cool.
Well, Well, I have very mixed feelings about this creature.
Well, yeah, me too.
It eats babies.
And it forces itself on women.
But it'll give you medical help.
Yeah. It depends if it likes you.
If you're polite to it.
It's a bit like the
it's very difficult to be polite to someone who's trying to attack
you. It's a bit like the school bully. They like you. You know, you're set. And if it doesn't like you, you're in shit.
But it's only child-sized.
Yeah.
And it has a tortoise shell on it. It's
a nasty little fucker, though, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it is.
There are thought to be several ways to defeat a kappa, or to fend off one, at least. The most common method is to use its own obsession with politeness.
Ah.
So just bow to it. If you encounter one, you should bow deeply, and the kappa will feel obliged to return the bow and spill water in the process, rendering it powerless.
Really?
Be careful, though. Some kappa have caught on to this practice and use a metal plate to protect their water when they come ashore.
This does feel a bit like one of those stories that parents tell their children, that always be polite. Here's why.
Yeah.
And I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. So other ways of dealing with a kappa can be found in their love of certain foods, especially cucumbers. It's thought that cucumbers are one of the few things kappa love more than the internal organs of a young child. Many people believe that writing the names and ages of everyone in their family on pieces of sliced cucumber and throwing them into the water before bathing would ensure that no one in their family would be harmed.
So people were writing names on cucumber?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever tried writing on cucumber? I imagine that's really difficult.
Amazingly, no, I haven't.
No, I haven't either. I'm realising, what have I been doing with my life?
I know, exactly.
I think I need to try that.
There is also a debate on whether eating cucumber would ensure safe passage in water. Surely that would make them want to eat you more.
I always think that's going to make them,
I'm reminded of
bait, isn't it?
I'm reminded that bit in a series of unfortunate events when Aunt Josephine eats a banana in the boat and is attacked by little piranhas, whatever they are.
Mm.
So though in certain regions, they believe this will protect you, while others consider it to make a kappa attack inevitable. Duh.
Yeah.
There are also several accounts of people being able to ward off kappa by carrying iron, sesame, or ginger on their person.
Okay.
So I'd just not go in the water, to be honest.
So if you're going to carry cucumbers, if you're a cucumber merchant or a farmer, you need to carry a lot of sesame seeds.
Yeah, basically. So that's the kappa.
Hmm. Well, that's a strange collection of attributes. It's almost like at some point that was several different
creatures
amalgamated or something like that. I don't know. Or came from several different parts of Japan, and this is kind of the summarization of all
those things about it.
That's interesting, though. It's not at all similar to really anything else. I see why you brought it up for mermaids, because it's
so random,
closest
isn't
we've
it?
Got, but it's not really that similar. We don't know
it's
like
it's really random, and the pictures of it, I'll put some up on Instagram, they are so weird. Obviously, drawings, obviously. There aren't any photos.
No, they're
sadly.
Photos. It's real. They you said photos. It was real.
It's real. So we're going to finish off. We're going back over to the British Isles. We're going to go to Scotland.
Oh, lovely.
Scotland.
She won't do that again, I promise.
I'm so sorry. So not...
It wasn't too bad, I'll be honest. It was all right.
Shall I begin?
No. Yes.
Not as well known as mermaids are mermen, obviously. They have... they also enjoy causing their own havoc, summoning storms to cause ships to sink and sailors to drown. Why have I written soldiers? Because I'm an idiot, that's why.
Because you didn't want to have to accidentally say the word seaman.
Oh dear, this is just utter filth, this episode, isn't it?
It's a really warm day.
People love
Sorry,
it.
Everyone.
It's very hot. We don't get... I know a lot of people listen in other countries. We're not used to this.
Our buildings are made out of bricks. We are sitting in ovens.
Yeah,
okay?
We're weedy English people. We can't cope with this.
These temperatures, the buildings cook us.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'll shut up.
Concentrate. One of the most feared group of mermen are the Blue Man of Minch, said to dwell in the Outer Hebrides off the coast of Scotland. They look like ordinary men from the waist up anyway, with the exception of their blue-tinted skin and grey beards. The Blue Men of Minch sleep in underwater caves, and when they do, the sea is calm and the weather is fine. However, when they wake, they take delight in conjuring up storms. They are the same size and shape as humans, and these creatures have been spotted swimming and diving with pure joy during the most vicious storms and roughest of seas.
Pure joy.
Pure joy, because they love the storms.
Well, okay.
The blue men always take an interest in any boats navigating the areas of the sea. They are said to be friendly as long as they are in the right mood and treated with respect.
A lot like the Blue Man Group, really.
Yes, who I've seen.
Were they good?
A long time ago. Yeah, really good.
Did they whip up a storm?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah.
That's good. Good for them.
Donald Alexander Mackenzie is a Scottish, or was a Scottish journalist and folklore expert, and described the Blue Men in his book Wonder Tales from Scotland, Myths and Legends.
The strait which lies between the island on Lewis and the Shantyles is called the Sea Strem of the Blue Men. They are of human size and they have great strength. By day and by night they swim round, and between the Shantyles and the sea they are never at rest. The Blue Men wear caps and have grey faces, which appear above the waves that they raise with their long, restless arms. In summer weather, they skim lightly below the surface, but when the wind is high, they revel in the storm and swim with their heads erect, splashing the waters with mad delight. Sometimes they are seen floating from the waist out to sea, and sometimes turning around like porpoises when they dive.
Probably porpoises then, sadly.
Those might be.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't mind. Porpoises look quite fun.
They are. The locals
have
think...
You've seen the video of someone playing... Sorry, this is going a bit off topic.
Mm.
A video of someone playing... there's a porpoise in like the tank is glassy that they can see.
Yeah.
And someone's playing double bass drum and the porpoises are loving it. They can hear it through the wall.
We'll have to post that. I have to find that.
It's really sweet. Because like, they open their mouth and go... Aah!
Yeah, they are cute. But yeah. They're like seals, aren't they? They're sweet. So the locals think the Blue Men are helpful if they treat them with respect and regard, due regard.
Mm-hmm.
Ale is sometimes poured into the sea as a sweetener.
Oh.
Maybe the Blue Men will leave out some seaweed on the beach as fertilizer. Another side of respect is to light a candle by the sea on the eve of Halloween. However, it is said of the Blue Men that they are a personification of often treacherous waters that they inhabit. Like the seas, their mood can change quickly and they cause ships to flounder and their crew and passengers to perish.
So people want to appease them so that they get calm seas.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, sailors are known traditionally to be quite superstitious, so this will make sense.
Sailors and actors.
Yep.
If the Blue Men want to attack a ship, they will yell to the captain, threatening in rhyming verse. The captain is then expected to respond in his own rhyming verse, almost like a ye old rap battle. If the captain does this and has the last word, his ship will be spared. If the captain fails in the task, then the Blue Men will attempt to overturn the ship and capsize it. In this way...
So they come on board and start doing limericks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
You can't rap, you're dead, basically. Yeah.
You can't spit bars, you're gonna sink.
You're going to spit water.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this way, it has been said that some captains have escaped disaster on the seas by the sharpness of their wit and tongue, while less fortunate are left to perish in the cold, raging waters of Minch.
Mm.
Here is a description of a challenge between a chief of the Blue Men and the captain of a vessel, described by Donald Alexander Mackenzie. Now, I've got a surprise for you.
Okay.
You got a beatbox.
Oh.
Come on. Gil. Chief of the Blue Men. Man of the black cap, what do you say as your proud ship cleaves the brine? Skipper answers. My speedy ship takes the shortest way and I'll follow you line by line. Chief of the Blue Man. My men are eager, my men are ready to drag you below the waves. Skipper answers.
My ship... You regret asking me to do that.
Keep going! Skipper answers, my ship is ready, my ship is steady. If it sank, it would wreck your caves. My drop! Amazing, apart from all the gas involved in that.
It wasn't gas.
Oh, come on, yes, there was.
Gas, there were bubbles.
Gas.
We're at sea, it's bubbles.
The chief of the Blue Men, having been answered strongly and with confidence by the skipper, allowed the ship to sail on to safety. If you are travelling in Scotland and crossing the seas of Minch, remember the legend of the Blue Men. We wish you safe passage, but if you look into the sea and get the merest glimpse of a blue shadow, be ready with your rhyming skills.
Oh dear.
That wasn't bad.
I really like that notion, though, that you, because I'm guessing people, you know, when they're at sea, they got bored.
Yeah.
And like, let's make up some rhymes. Why?
Yeah.
Well. I can see how that could come
about.
I was
quite impressed by your beatboxing.
I wasn't.
Not bad. It sounded like you were having an asthma attack halfway through, but...
Yeah.
So that's two very, I hope, unusual,
very different,
yeah, stories of aquatic beings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we all know about mermaids, don't we, really? So
we do.
And when I Googled mermaid sightings, there have been so many, like people who have actually claimed to have seen mermaids. And I like to think, you know, we haven't discovered much of the ocean. I like to think they're there.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Vince does not look convinced. You are not convinced. It's very hot.
Anyway. Yeah. So we are very sticky and a bit hungry.
You are sticky. I've had a shower. I'm yes, all right, okay, yes. Yeah. I've started to get sticky because I had a shower.
I'm here.
Over an hour ago now, so obviously I'm, you know, now need another one because it's bloody 100 million degrees outside. Thanks for listening,
it's not
everyone.
Not quite that hot, but it is.
I like to be dramatic.
It's quite warm and it's quite humid.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Yes, thank you for listening to us ramble. I'm sorry.
If you enjoy the show, hopefully you do, you can get in touch with us via email. It's ghostgeekuk@gmail.com, ghostgeekuk@gmail.com. You can send in your stories or give us any film recommendations you might have. Find
absolutely,
us on social media.
All of the main socials, yes.
Do get in touch. We love hearing from people.
We do. We like hearing from everyone.
Brilliant. So I guess all to say is thank you for listening and speak soon. We should hopefully be back, you know, to more frequent episodes.
It'll be back to normal.
Just because we are on holiday and all that jazz. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Goodbye.